Another time, he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan, and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. This is the word of the Lord.
In 1872, the very first people came in through the doors to sit where you are now. It was the opening service of All Saints. Bishop Samuel Wilberforce was taking it. Do you know him? He was the son of William Wilberforce, the anti-slavery campaigner. And he prayed this prayer that this place, this space, would be a place of blessing, not only for the people who came here, but for the whole of Peckham. 143 years on, we are asking God this morning, "Lord, how do you want to answer that prayer this year?" It's a very significant year, we believe. And in the next few minutes, I want to share with you what we in the PCC, that's the Parochial Church Council, and the staff team and some of us who meet together from PCC and staff team and this thing called The Link, what we've been praying about and thinking about, that is a continuation of what Bishop Sam, Soapy Sam he was called apparently, what Bishop Sam prayed for and what Jesus is doing actually in Mark chapter 3. Taking down two signs, one that says, "Keep out," and another sign that says, "No exit," as though the only space in Peckham and beyond that Jesus was working in was in here, as though there was no exit for God to be at work outside there. And just when you're starting to answer the question, ask the question a few minutes' time, "Yeah, Jonathan, but on Vision Sunday, so what? So what does all this theology mean?" We want to say very practically, I'll hand the mic to Nick, say very practically some practical things we are doing this year. Actually starting already and continuing this coming week in exciting ways. What they cost, why we're doing them. Jesus is in a synagogue. If you have Mark chapter 3 open, please keep it open or open it now. And here is what he's doing. Colin and Karima, I just need you to move a little bit further away. Because what he's doing is quite dangerous. Takes quite a lot of courage. Jesus has a lot of that. Because I'll do this gently so we don't hit anyone. But essentially he's doing this. He is breaking down walls. Don't worry, we're not about to give you the hidden message. We're going to break down these walls this year. We're talking about walls of a different kind, which you've got to sign on, restricted, keep out. You see, in the first century, in the religious places like the synagogue where Jesus is in Mark chapter 3, there are signs for certain types of people, keep out. And the man with the shriveled hands may well have been one of them. He's got this deformity, which is why he keeps it in his first century pocket, like I'm doing now. Because many people thought that this was a sign of God's punishment on him. If you had certain kinds of illness or injury, if you had certain kinds of unsavory background, if you were from certain tribes or races, like the Samaritan race, there was a sign saying, keep out. Could you put the first slide up? And there are people, maybe the religious people, maybe they've invited this man with a shriveled hand, with his hand in his pocket, maybe they've invited him to the synagogue this day because they want to trap Jesus. They want to see what he does, to see if he breaks their law, which is you can't heal here on a Sunday. And Jesus does what he always does with anyone in need of restoring in any way. He tells the man to stretch out that which was shameful, to show it. Not to make him ashamed, no, to take away his shame. He's saying, the walls of this house, which is meant to be my Father's house, are meant to be a place where God the Father brings healing, brings restoration, where there's a sign outside, not like this one, saying keep out, but saying come in. Jesus is opening up the synagogue here, or it's what he wants to do, to make it a place for all comers. He's doing the same this year, every year actually, since 1872. As Jesus once said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. And the qualification for belonging, as Jesus sees his church, is that you come expecting his healing, his restoration. Jesus wants to take down any sign like this that says, if you're not whole, keep out. He puts this in the form of a question. Look at verse 4. He says, what's lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? It's to do good. And the next verse says, Jesus was angry that this sign was up. This year, in the ways we're going to describe, we are seeking how Jesus wants to do the same. We've got a sort of a phrase informing our prayers. Can you put it up on the next slide? We're asking God, how do you want to make space for good that you want to do, in Peckham? And because you're not just active here, what do you want to do in these walls? How can we open up All Saints and the whole site? We don't know yet, but we're asking him, how do you want us to open up this site so that you can do the good you want to do? And Jesus is doing this. He's knocking down these walls with everyone he meets, bringing them into the community called the family of God that this place is meant to reflect. There's a woman by the well who's told to keep out from the synagogue and anywhere else respectable because of her sexual history. Probably. There's a woman with a bleeding condition that makes her unclean, who's told to keep out, who Jesus restores. There's a man with a shriveled heart. He's called Zacchaeus. He's cheated his way into wealth, who's shunned by everyone and told to keep out, who Jesus restores. He's in the restoring business. You see, we can come to him with whatever is shriveled, which whatever is not perfect. We come, all of us this morning, with our stuff that we wish it wasn't like what it is. And like the man with the shriveled hand, we can keep it in the pocket. And Jesus says, stretch it out in a safe place. I come to you this morning with not a shriveled hand, but not a good thing. I'm putting it this way. My dad died last Tuesday. An aunt of Rutli's, my wife, who we both loved a lot, she died 3 days before that. This is not good. It's not good. We don't feel good about it. And we won't tomorrow either, or the tomorrow after that. But here's the thing. Jesus says, stretch it out. I'm not going to do that now at this particular moment. But I am regularly with God's people. Because Jesus says, come to me for the good I want to do. And you see, you come, if not this Sunday, on some Sundays, with real trouble of different kinds. And we don't share it with everyone, but with someone who can be Jesus to you. He wants this to be a space for good. And because this is a significant year in All Saints, there's some special goods that we believe he wants to do here. We're going to show you a little video. If you can bring it up, Sarah. I want you to think about the outside of the church, okay? And there's an amazing group of people. Some of them are in the fabric team. Some of them are in the gardening club, which is actually meeting next Saturday, trying to take away any signs out there which are saying, keep out. Huge amount of work is done. I'll show you some of the work, if you can set this going. Here's our front. Well, this sign doesn't say welcome, but it's got to be there because the cross is quite dangerous. We're going to be doing something about that. Here's something of the beautiful garden where the fence was taken down last year. The hedge was lowered. This sign, really important, got to be there. This sign, not really sure. Maybe that's giving the message, the clergy and staff, really important. This padlock, really important. It's sure got to be there. But wouldn't it be great if we could unlock it and take it away more and build some of these stones that have fallen off? Just show the next slide, if you would, Sarah, of the padlock. And that's one thing that we're doing this year. We're taking off the padlock, just in a small way, on Tuesday mornings. Every Tuesday morning, from now on, we're opening this door, opening up the church very practically for anyone to come in to sit in sofas here for a community cafe. Every Saturday, as of the Saturday before last, we're taking off this padlock, and thanks to this amazing organization called Food Cycle, we're offering a meal. We're just hosting this, a free meal to anybody who would like it in the hall. Because we believe this is the space that God wants to do some good in, more of it in 2015 than in 2014. The hedge, which had its purpose and was lovingly tended over many years, the PCC felt last year, this is the year to lower that, to take away that fence, to have our community garden party, as I was talking about. What are the walls that God wants to lower or to take away? Anything that says, come in, come in. Before I hand over to Nick, I'll remember this, that some of you here experience what it's like when this sign wasn't taken away Because when you arrived in the 1960s or 70s, you weren't really welcome at all because of where you came from. And we thank God that you ignored those signs, or you kicked them down, and miraculously you stayed and carried on coming. And that is one reason why one of the top values of this church is diversity. You see, if you or I want God's church to be a place full of everyone just like you, we're in the wrong church. Because Jesus is gradually, step by step, day by day, taking off the padlocks, especially in here, and out there, one day, one hour at a time, for everyone to come in. We raise high the roof beam carpenters so the King of Glory will come in. And the King we know, the King we worship, has in his wake people from across the world with deformed hands, with bad histories, with a dodgy faith, who are tax collectors, who are prostitutes, who are sinners, who are shriveled in different ways. That's why today we say, if your finances are shriveled, welcome. Come and meet the CAP team, Christians Against Poverty. If your faith is shriveled, you're not really sure God's even there, come in. You're welcome. Why don't you think about coming to the Alpha course? It's next Wednesday. Every Wednesday. You're welcome. Your qualification is, you're not really sure. You see, we follow the first followers of the King of Glory. All of us, like them, needing something restored. Something restored. Okay, Jonathan, well, okay. So what exactly does this taking down of walls look like in 2015? Nick.
So I work here 2 days a week, and my role is to coordinate the, I guess if you're in an office, would be called the back end, the work that makes everything happen. First of all, I think it's... I always cry. We have an amazing group of people who gives so much time. And I think right now, while I stop crying, could you give them a big applause? Right, now back to not crying. Sorry about that. So, to give you some scale of the task here, the turnover of this charity, and we are a charity as well as a church, is nearly £500,000 a year. We employ 14 people, some of whom are employed by the diocese, some are employed directly by the church. We have to run that, the equivalent of 2 full-time people. That's 4 people in all, Jim, myself, Magda and Sally. And between us, we coordinate the site, we coordinate the communications, or the administration, and all the finance of the church. And that's why we need so many volunteers and so much unpaid time is given to the church, and we're so grateful. In 2013, when I was appointed, the church had been through an interregnum and had a new vicar appointed. And because of that, there was a state of flux, and we knew that we had to start sorting out some of the systems and processes that were taking place in the church. Simple things like an email system that worked, a shared calendar that people could access, not to have multiple filing systems from different people, but have one place where we stored everything. And it was a scary time, I think. Jim, what do you think? It was scary. It was scary, wasn't it? And we were learning what we did and didn't have. Did we have an asbestos report? What on earth was going on with the electrics? Who was our electrician? And these kind of questions. But through lots of chucking things away and a great deal of support, the first big day in, back in 2013, was an immense time of just sorting stuff out and finding things for the first time. It was brilliant. This last year, has been much more actually setting about doing some of those deep-rooted tasks. We have an asbestos report. We do need one. You wouldn't have known that, would you? We have a stone report, and I'm going to talk to you about that in a moment. We have rectified, finally, all of our electrical faults. Yay! That is a big round of applause. Finally, this week, and we thought it was going to cost several thousand pounds, and it only just cost over just £1,000, we've rectified the cable that links this building with the church office next door, which had been on the verge of failing, and we had managed to fix it. Again, it's only through the work of people like Jim, Magda, and Sally, and myself, and all of the unpaid work that goes behind the scenes with the fabric team, that we're able to find the quotes and to get that in at a cost that really worked for the church. We've repaired the damp in the hall. I don't know those people who were involved in Big Day In this year, but we literally ourselves stripped out the floor and got it in a place where we could put contractors in, and you know, we saved a fortune. Plus, somebody from this congregation donated to cover the cost of that work, which is absolutely immense. I think another round of applause. You don't realise, probably, but there's little things. We finally got rid of the photocopier contract, so we could buy a photocopier that would actually produce things like the monthly booklets, produces the Herald each week, and does so at a cost saving from the previous photocopier that we didn't, in fact, even own. We've resolved the legal problems over the ownership of the vicarage, which is just due to a matter of history. But again, it's exciting things like this that last year meant that this year we can now look forward to some amazing ideas and possibilities about what we're going to do. So, what does 2015 look like? Well, there's two overarching themes that are going to underpin what we're going to do. One is to look at the site, to think through what the site needs to be and do over the next 5, 10, 15, 50, 100 years. And the second is to figure out how we support everyone in this church, from you, me, the vicar, to get out there and to show God's gospel in our communities, in the streets. So if I just want to quickly look at the site redevelopment. Last year, as part of this sorting out process, we were recommended by our architect to actually find out about the stonework of this church, just this building itself. And we had it inspected. And the report was alarming. The report recommended that we had two immediate pieces of work, which is why you see the tape off at the front, which is the stone cross, which could fall down. And also there's a sill loose up here. And we're going to get those fixed soon. In fact, the standing committee to the PCC authorised them this week just gone by. But the big alarming feature that we needed to know was that actually this church was going to have some serious repair bills over the next 10 years. The estimate from the stonework is that it's going to be in the region of about £1 million to be spent over the next 10 years, just making this church good. Now, the reason that's important is that we shouldn't be scared, we shouldn't be worried, but because we have to dream with God, because God has a plan. What God doesn't want us to do is to go in with our eyes shut and spend £1 million and be left with the same church that we had before. But if we're going to spend £1 million on the church, let's do something amazing with it. Whether it's a building like this, maybe it's a building with add-ons, maybe it's something else, some other kind of building attached or connected to it. But let's do something that means that people can come into the church. The point of last year, why we did last year, and we did all this sorting out, is that so we could host things like the cafe here by taking down the hedge. The reason that we sorted out the damp in the kitchen and have put in more systems in place is so that every week this church, through an amazing network of volunteers, most of whom aren't even in this church, are going to be giving out free food to whoever wants it every Saturday evening. I just do not know many churches that do that. So, we're going to start a site redevelopment. This isn't about a big building project. It's actually about having a plan. On the 1st of March, the PCC have commissioned Steve to help coordinate. He's our CAP manager, but he's also a qualified architect and practices as an architect. They have endorsed him to spend one day of his 3 days a week that he works here to put together and speak to whoever he needs to, but the key groups and people who use the hall, to put a pact together so that we can get a feasibility study about what we're going to do with the site. That might mean anything from a phased redevelopment to something bigger. We don't know, because we've got to pray it through. The PCC were commissioned, along with the staff team, in December to start thinking about what God is saying to them. What are their dreams and aspirations for the church? What's God putting on the hearts of individuals? And we're hoping that together we're going to go through a process where we come and have something really clear that kind of gives us a 5-year plan about where we're going. Now, I think one of the most important things to come out of last year personally was that building projects can kill churches. And so we need to be missional. We need to serve Jesus, not serve a building. And if we're going to start down a road that's going to suck up people's time, we need to really focus on what it means to go out onto the streets. And in a moment, Jonathan's going to talk to some of what that might mean and some of the plans that go around with that. But let's finish by just talking some money. Because we don't serve money, but all money is God's. Last year, we set a budget of £495,000. We spent £502,000. In most churches, that's bad news. But not ours. We received income of £532,000. And that just needs a clap. However, this year we've set a budget of £543,790. Why are we doing that? Because of the following reasons. One, we're increasing our giving so it's linked to 10% of our budget. That's the giving that we give externally. We feel that's absolutely important. If we have so much, we must give it away. And without that, nothing happens. We've set aside £5,000 for a feasibility study. We think that would cover it, but we don't know. We need to complete the urgent works, including the cross, which is approximately £6,500. We know that the church is being used more and more every day, and that means that we need to have much more regularly cleaning. Above all else, we want to facilitate much more missional work. And finally, we're going to start paying pensions to the staff that work here, and that's why we need that extra increase. Now, we don't do that lightly, because you'll see in all of your heralds standing order forms, because we are asking you to consider your giving today, and whether you give for the first time or consider increasing that giving. But we believe that God is at work here. We realise that every single pound or pence that comes in is massively important, and we try and use it as efficiently as possible. We believe that God is breaking down walls. We're not just trying to build a shiny church. We do not want to enter into a building project that A, doesn't involve you guys, the whole church, together, working together, all of our shared aspirations and dreams. We don't want it to take over everything. We want to be a church that's known as a church that loves Jesus and wants to serve God. I'll hand back to Jonathan now to give you a bit more about some of the breakout groups and some of the information about that.
Thanks, Nick. We keep the passion. And we keep the tears. I'll keep this brief. Jesus leaves the synagogue. We leave this church a little bit later. He hasn't stopped serving God. Mark 3, 7 to 12, he's serving God. He's still healing. He's out there. He's taken the padlock off the synagogue, letting people in, and the padlock's still out. The people go out with him. So do we. I'd like you to think of this question, which is on the next slide, if you could put it up. Can you do this? Think of one place you spend more than 10 hours in every week. Can you just think of one place? You got it? If you've got a long commute, it could be the train or a car. It could be your home. It could be your workplace. If it's like verses 7 to 12 where Jesus was, it's pretty exhausting. It's overwhelming at times. If it's like where Jesus is in this chapter, there are evil spirits everywhere. Ever felt like that in your life, that you're in a godless place? But look at what Jesus does in this passage. If you read it quickly, you might think he's trying to get away from the crowds. But in fact, he's healing hundreds. And Mark 6, verse 34 says, Jesus looks at the crowds as he does, as the crowds in Peckham and beyond, and had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. He has compassion on them. And in this place that you're thinking of, this place up here, you got it in your mind, in your head? Jesus wants to use you as he uses the disciples in Mark 3, verse 10. What does he say? Some of you are fishermen, aren't you? Would you help me with your skills and with the resource of your boats? We will put out from shore. Jesus is not getting away from the crowd. He's doing what he often does in the gospel accounts. He's putting out from shore so he can speak the message to the whole crowd. Good way to communicate across water so everyone can hear. In the same way, your skills, your day job, if you have one, your resources, great or small, they are like the boats of the disciples. And Jesus is saying to you and to me, would you lend me your boat so we can put out together? So in some way, in the overwhelming, exhausting places full of questions and struggles and strains, something of my compassion can be got out. Something of my attitude that Will was talking about last week, that our attitude should be that we have the same mind as Christ, who made himself nothing, not to be served, but to serve. And he wants to go with us into our workplaces. As a sign of this, on May the 17th, we're doing something that will be brilliant. It's called Breakout Sunday. I haven't got all the details yet, but what it's going to look like is lots of different parts of All Saints' body in different places around the parish and outside where you live will be meeting, doing different things. We'll be asking some of you with certain skills that you have in your boat to facilitate these places. Some group might be meeting in Nunhead, getting together to do messy church, something like that. Another group might be meeting in a coffee shop here. Another group might be going to where the youth are now going, to the Bussey building, to meet there. Different expressions, which we're exploring in the next month, on May the 17th, breaking out, because that's what Jesus does. He breaks out with us. And that's why we're asking all of us, me included, to take this standing order form we've got. If you don't need it, by the way, just put it at the back, because we'll give it to others. Don't just, Nestor asked me to say this, don't just leave it in the pew. But if you can, take it home and ask God, what are you calling me to give to this vision of making space for good here and breaking out with your love there? What are you asking me to give with the boat that is my life? The boat that is literally in Mark chapter 3, a platform on which Jesus can speak. And that costs some courage, some time, some money. And for those of us who are able to fill up that form to give to this vision. I finish with this, and I invite the worship band to come up now. That in 2015, we are praying that God would show us his way, which will need courage. It will need time and investment. And above all else, it will need his Spirit. Because it is not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. And this morning, you're invited to come to the table of communion, which is the mysterious, amazing sign of Jesus' body that's broken, his blood that is shed for all of us who in different ways are broken. That we can stretch out where we're broken and be restored by the King of Glory. So even in the rubble of our lives, like our wall this morning, he can build the walls he wants to and take away the signs that he wants to remove. You're invited. Jesus says, come in. And then Jesus says, go out with me. As you come forward for communion, there'll be a waste paper basket here. There'll be a waste paper basket at the back. You can drop in your signs, which I'll just invite you to tear out the last one, which has no exit. Just tear it out, and along with the other one, we throw it away. Because we want Jesus to come in and then to go out with us. Would you please stand?